Well, the question I pose on the first slide is, where does your short fiber come from? Actually, it was perhaps 20 years ago that I posed a slightly different hypothesis for investigation. It was, could short fiber possibly be just an artifact of processing and measurement? That was a question that caused some consternation at the time, dismay and hand-wringing, because it implied that short fiber content might not be an objective cotton fiber property. In other words, like the mass of the bale, maybe the mass of the short fiber wasn't really a real property. In the ensuing time, there's been an absence of disproof as far as I know. And the other thing to establish scientific believability would be a demonstrated feasibility. This is now, the feasibility aspect of this was something that I worked on for a long, long time. Every day at lunchtime, I'd get a bag of Cheetos and line them all up in an array and try and figure out a demonstration that would communicate to some of the people who kept telling me that they didn't understand what I was talking about. The problem with that was that I ended up eating the demonstration once I got it perfected. Since then, in retirement, I've had a chance to look in on my grandchildren a little more. If you've had the occasion to stop by a kindergarten or nursery school class, you may have found them, along with the Lincoln Logs and the Legos, playing with some educational tools called manipulatives. A particular type is called the Cuisenaire rods, which are a set of little rods that are used to teach early childhood arithmetic, addition, subtraction, even multiplication, fractions, the conservation of quantity, and a whole bunch of mathematical quantity type concepts. Now, lest I insult your intellect by talking about kids' toys, I will note that Cuisenaire rods are also used in the teaching of language, foreign language, to adults, particularly in the banking industry. Now, I don't know anything about language, so I'm going to stick to the quantitative aspects. This is the trademarked color set of the Cuisenaire rods. The rods have integral multiples of a unit length, and each length has its own color. Now, y'all will probably accuse me of just using this as an excuse to show pictures of my grandchildren, and of course I wouldn't do that. I have to use the kids as my technicians since I retired. This is an illustration that Nina has discovered, that the 5 plus 2 rod is the same length as the 4 plus 3. And for us, we need to also imply from that that a 7 rod could be broken into either of these pairs, or in fact any other combination that totals up to 7. And this works because length is conserved even in breakage, just as it is in addition. Now, in fiber science, we talk about histograms and arrays, pseudo-web arrays or whatever. Here, Lizzie is learning how to make an array. I need to note that the object in her mouth is a Pez. It's not the 4 rod. Otherwise, I'd get in trouble with OSHA, I guess, or with her mother, which would be even worse. For the purpose of this little demonstration, I added 2 additional length groups, the 11 and 12 lengths, and I just simply fabricated the rods and picked a couple of what were supposed to be different colors. Now, the relevance to cotton fiber is that cotton scientists over the decades, over the last century, have repeatedly observed that cotton lint or cotton fibers on the seed grow to about the same length, more or less. And there's not a lot of short fiber on normal seed cotton. So I had my senior technician, Molly, fashion a fairly uniform starting distribution, not unlike a histogram of seed fiber lengths that we see when we do single fiber measurements. So the original histogram is showed here with, I put a one rod down here just to show you what where the zero is located. The relevance of this is that in breakage, for instance, off the seed, if in ginning we separate the seed from the fiber, or the fiber from the seed at the seed interface, we get the full length of the fiber. There's one break that's required to gin each fiber. If, however, the fiber breaks somewhere in the middle, it's going to take a second break to get the fragment off, and that first break is then what we call breakage. It's a gratuitous break or an unnecessary break, and it has the effect of changing the length distribution. But measurement also changes the length distribution. For instance, the aphis uses a high-speed opener, which uses opposed points at high speed. Very aggressive. If you wanted to invent a machine to break fibers, you'd probably come up with something sort of like that. And the way the aphis works is that the specimen actually goes through the opener and suffers some unknown amount of breakage before it reaches the sensor and gives you the measured value. So what you measure or what you see out of the sensor in the aphis is not the length distribution of the specimen, but the length distribution of the broken specimen after it goes through the opener. And we know just from varying the way that we feed the opener that you can get tremendous differences in the short fiber measurements, simply because the amount of breakage depends on, among other things, the linear density of the sliver that you feed. At a heavier sliver input, you choke the machine, and you tend to get more breakage. So the way we approach this is to model the fiber length distribution as an array of Cuisenaire rods. Then we divide the original distribution into two parts. One part will leave unbroken, the other part will break. In this particular example, I've chosen to break one rod out of each of the length groups. And we can follow that and see what comes of breaking that percentage of the fibers. Now, you might have said, that, gee, that looks like a big percentage, but bear with me. So to be broken, we have this set of rods. How do we break them? Well, one way is to do a random assignment. Here you see Lizzie throwing a die in order to generate the breakage for each individual rod. And it looks something like this. The sequence thrown gave a division of each one of the original rods into two shorter rods. It looks something like this. We then take those and can reassemble the broken fragments with the ones that we left unbroken and come up with a new distribution that looks like this one over here, the after. The difference between the two, the principal difference between the two, is that we've added a lot of fiber down in this region, which is the short fiber region, the 1, 2, 3, and 4. If we're using this as a model of eighths of an inch. This would be a pseudo-web array. The mass amount, and these are mass diagrams because they're basically length, which is the mass. The broken fiber content, in other words, the mass fraction that we broke was about 33%. The original short fiber content, just due to this one little cube here, was 0.6%. The breakage of about one-third of the fibers by mass in this particular way resulted in a short fiber content now of about 10% in the final distribution. This, the sort of numbers that you get will depend on exactly what rules you use. One rule we used here was that you couldn't break off a piece as short as one unit. In cotton breakage, you actually have to get a grip on it, and it's impossible to make a very short fragment very easily. So what we see from this is that the general change in shape, the shape of the daughter distribution, and the range for the short fiber content is very compatible with the what we see with cotton. So that leaves us with the research question. And it's a shame that after 20 or 30 years we have more questions than we started with, but this is really two questions. You could take the short fiber content phrase and replace it with broken fiber content or breakage, and that's what we would really be talking about. But I phrased it here as follows. Is short fiber content a property of the processing or a property of the cotton? And there's some evidence both ways. The evidence for it residing in the processing is that the same cotton will produce a different breakage pattern and therefore a different short fiber content with different gen treatments, cleaning, or measurement treatments. If you change anything, you're going to get a different number. That's with the same cotton. So the breeders will tell you that it's not in the cotton, it's in the process. On the other hand, the mechanical folks will say, whoa, wait a minute, if you use the same ginning or cleaning, processing, or measurement on different cultivars or varieties, you're going to get different patterns of breakage and different amounts of short fiber content. So the differences are in the cotton, not in the process. Well, it seems very likely to me that not only is the answer both, but it's worse than that. It's a cross term. It's an interaction between the process and the cotton. So this is not an easy research question to address. I'm going to just draw some conclusions, not just from what I've shown you here, but also from the more general body of work, which involves a lot of simulations on computer, where we can actually deal with numbers that are large enough to approximate continuous distributions. But first of all, you need to note that fiber breakage can very easily account for the shape of the cotton fiber length distribution. The nature of breakage is encoded in the shape of the distribution. So it is possible by looking at the distribution, once you know that, to deduce some things about how much breakage has occurred or what kind of breakage has occurred. And the third thing is that it takes a surprisingly large amount of breakage to simulate the sort of short fiber levels found in gin lint. And I'm going to call it quits there.
Thank you.